This is Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist afield. I'm Glenn Muddlehauser, an ecologist and naturalist with Maine Natural History Observatory.
I'm Coco Faber, and I have spent the past 10 summers working in seabird colonies off the coast of Maine for the Seabird Institute, which is also sometimes known as Project Puffin. And I've spent the past 6 years on Seal Island, which is the biggest puffin colony off the coast of Maine.
And I'm Tracy Faber. I'm Coco's twin sister, and I have worked on the sort of sister island to Seal, Matinicus Rock, for the past 7 years, also for Project Puffin.
We've talked about this a lot, about how every year now feels like sort of there's no normal year really in the Gulf of Maine. And so every summer, or really in the spring, you come into the island and part of what you're wondering is like, what is the story going to be this year? And how are all of my little experiences of the island and all of my day-to-day observations going to sort of coalesce at the end of the season into those sort of broad strokes of like what happened? And every year we have surprises, and some are good and some are bad. This summer we had a very tough year for terns on Seal Island, and I think in general on the offshore islands. Mm-hmm. Some of the nearshore islands had a better season for the terns. And we had a really, really quite good year for puffins, and a year where we saw them doing some interesting things.
Yeah, we also had a really great year for razorbills. I think that my sort of overarching theme of the summer was flexibility, and getting to see the flexibility of these birds and their resilience dealing with poor prey availability for large parts of the breeding season, and also dealing with storms and storm impact, which hit Matinicus much harder than a lot of other islands based on the direction of those storms and the topography of the island. So probably about half to two thirds of our razorbill colony was overwashed about a week or two before a lot of chicks start hatching. And the pretty incredible thing is that we saw a lot of those birds lay a second clutch that season. And we were lucky enough to have some really great prey items that were available to them. And razorbills tend to generally leave the island and be done fledging chicks by mid to end of July. And we had birds fledging chicks through the first week and a half of August this year, and they did very well. We had some of the highest growth rates that we've ever had for razorbills that we monitor. We also saw puffins who were impacted by May nor'easters who laid again. What's particularly interesting, I think, about that is that Steve Kress, who started Project Puffin, and a lot of people who worked there over the years, based on the monitoring that they were doing, didn't really think that puffins regularly could lay a second egg in a season. Mm-hmm. And because of the sort of detailed level of monitoring and the way that we're able to look at individual burrows and follow individual burrows now, we actually know that it's not that uncommon. And there are pairs who sometimes will even lay three eggs to start the season.
On Seal, we have a pair that we have monitored for many years as part of our productivity study, and that pair typically rolls at least one egg. And I think it just has to do with the way that their burrow is shaped. When they go out and they exit the burrow, I think sometimes they kick the egg and it just rolls back and gets wedged between rocks. And last year they laid three eggs and they all rolled. Yeah. And then some of them were still in the burrow this year and they just laid one egg. And I kind of wonder if it helped make a little wall. but the bigger point is, it is really interesting to get to see that these birds can put, like, the amount of, just thinking about the amount of energy that they're expending, like, they went through the whole process to lay an egg, and then to put in that extra energy to relay an egg when they know, like, they're going to be staying later in towards the end of the season when it typically gets more difficult for them to feed their chicks anyway. So they're really putting in such a heavy commitment at that point. And I do wonder if with having, like, more storms sometimes, or more unpredictable storms and different conditions now in the Gulf of Maine, if that rate of relayed eggs is higher than it used to be. But I don't know, because I think that the ways that we've monitored those things have changed over time.
Yeah. That was Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist Afield from the Maine Natural History Observatory. This program was produced by Glenn Middlehauser. The theme music is Keeper of the Light by Hallie Pottle Parker, performed by Hallie Pottle Parker and Kate Pottle. For more information, you can go to mainenaturalhistory.org. You can find more episodes of Nature Notes on the WERU archive or wherever you get podcasts.